All right, 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now, I knew that we were going to have our time together yesterday in our cookout, what have you, so I was prepared early and had my sermon ready. But Tuesday, it's been a week of news, and Tuesday I got news that a faithful pastor of the gospel had died, Brother Scott Richardson, and then I received some other news that caused my heart to break for my brethren. And so I got up a bit more early than usual this morning, and I think I have a message that'll hopefully comfort you. It's a familiar passage here, but I hope it's a comfort to you. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, King David, the man after God's own heart, is dying. And verse 1 says, "Now these be the last words of David." Now David is a wonderful, wonderful type of Christ the Lord. And even in these things that are said about David, we see something of our Lord here. David is the son of Jesse. Our Lord Jesus is the root of Jesse, called the son of David and David's Lord. David, the son of Jesse, said, "And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob," God took David from tending his father's sheep, and he anointed him, and he made him king over Israel. God the Father anointed Christ Jesus, his son, and he raised him to a glorious high throne, the throne of David over spiritual Israel, and a government which has no end. And he's the great shepherd of the sheep. It says here, he's the son of Jesse, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. And David's psalms are so sweet because he sings of our Redeemer. And he says here, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me." You notice the three in one here. The God of Israel is God the Father. The Rock of Israel is Christ Jesus, the Son of God. The Spirit of the Lord is the Holy Spirit. And notice he says, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me." This is the divine inspired gospel that was spoken by David for our comfort to us. And he says here, "The God of Israel, the Rock of Israel spake to me." That's what God the Father and Christ Jesus the Son spoke to David, to comfort David. That's a blessing to have the Father and Son speak to us for our own benefit, and the Holy Ghost speak by us for the benefit of our brethren. And this is what the triune God spoke by David and to David. Verse 3, "He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain." David ruled the kingdom as justly as a man can rule a kingdom. But this description especially speaks of David's Lord, of his government. He's a just God and a Savior. Not just a just God, and not just a Savior. A just God and a Savior. He's just and he's the justifier of all who believe. Christ is the light of the world. He's the Son of righteousness. And this is what he says, verse 5. David says, "Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow." The hope of the believer is the God of everlasting covenant. The hope of the believer. The fifth verse here is going to be our focus, and we're going to divide it just by phrase. First thing we see here is David says, "Although my house be not so with God." In our immediate families, you and I, we have children. Some have spouses that don't know the Lord, that don't believe on the Lord. And we mourn for those. children. You pour out your heart to God for those children, for that spouse, and that God might be pleased to be merciful to them. We have relatives in our extended families, brothers and sisters, who just simply do not know the Lord. And they have just created havoc for themselves and for everyone around them and caused great sorrow. And our hearts mourn for them. You think about David. This is what I was thinking about last night. Think about David. He looked over his house and he saw clouds from morning till evening over his house. His wife was forced from him and another man took her. And when he finally got her back, David was zealous for the Lord, and she despised him for that. She hated him for that. Amnon, his David's son, raped his sister Tamar, David's daughter. That's some trial. That's some serious trial. That's a cloud. Absalom, David's son, then killed Amnon, his brother, David's other son. He killed him. Absalom fled, and David mourned for him for 3 years while he was gone. Just left. And then he was rebelling, and he was riding, and he got hung up in a oak limb by the neck and was thrashing around. And while he was doing it, Joab went to him and shot him through the heart, killed him. And in himself, David couldn't find any peace. David couldn't find any comfort in himself. He had murdered, slain thousands with his sword. He numbered Israel one day, and 70,000 people died because of it. He committed adultery. He sent Uriah into the heat of the battle, Bathsheba's husband, and he was killed. And he did it on purpose. He did that on purpose. There was our God's teaching us through these things that you and I are not going to be able to look over our lives and look over the lives of our families, in our immediate family, in our extended families, and find any hope and any rest from that. We're just not going to be able to. Our Lord, the Rock, said, I've said these things to you that you might be comforted. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. That's what this world is about. This world is cursed by sin, and you're going to have tribulation in this world. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. There's where we're going to find rest. There's where we're going to find our hope and our comfort. It's in him. David said, although it be not so with my house. Here's the second division. Yet. Yet. Aren't you thankful for that word, yet? Yet. That's a little three-lettered word, but that's a big word, yet. Yet. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. This is a covenant of grace, free grace. Look over to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. These are David's last words. Our hope is getting more narrow. And when we get to that day where it's our last day and we're speaking our dying words, you see here with David, this hope's, it's simple and it's narrow. He's not too concerned about high theology right now. This is what he's concerned about right here. This covenant. Psalm 89, verse 1. And this covenant now, as I read this covenant that God made with David is the covenant God the Father made with his Son. And the reason God made this covenant with David is because of his Son, of God's Son, Christ the Lord. So as you hear this now, you consider these words between God the Father and God the Son, as well as the covenant God made with David. Psalm 89:1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I've said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Now who's that talking about? David said, my Lord. He called Christ my Lord. David said unto thee, Lord, my Lord. He made this covenant with David, but this is the covenant of our God the Father, God the Son. Look over here at verse 19. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen out of the people. That's who our Savior is. I found David, my servant, and with my holy oil I have anointed him. He says, with whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I'll beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I'll set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I'll make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Higher than the kings of the earth. Luke says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there be no end. He says, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. And if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgment, if they break my statutes, keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. Once I've sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. And his seed shall endure forever. His throne as the sun before me, it shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Now, in Acts 13, it says, as concerning that God raised Christ from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Everything that the mercies that were given to David, these are the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're the mercies given to him. They're the mercies that come through him and by him to his people by the sake of this everlasting covenant. And it's eternal. It's everlasting. It is an everlasting covenant. When Paul wrote in Ephesians, he said that blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It's an eternal God, blessing with eternal blessings, in eternity, of things that are eternal. It's eternal. It's everlasting. Everlasting. He said, if you can break my covenant with the day, you can break my covenant with the night, then shall this my covenant be broken. It can't be broken. God's covenant can't be broken. He said, I've spoken it. It's gone out of my mouth. It's done. It cannot be broken. The covenant is ordered. It's ordered and it's sure. It's ordered and it's sure. God's a God of order. And you ever notice that everything that God requires, he provides? Everything he requires, he provides. And everything he requires is so higher than us, and so much more lofty than us, that he requires it of us to make us behold that we need him to provide it for us. We do. We needed righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. We need the perfection of holiness. Christ is he has the beauties of holiness. He's the just one. He's the Holy One. We need perfect fidelity to God. We need perfect faithfulness to God. He's the author and finisher of our faith. This thing's ordered and sure. Before the beginning of the world, God made His Son the surety. He entered into suretyship with His Father. Can God lie? Is He a man that He can lie? Can somebody change Him? Can somebody turn Him so that what He says doesn't come to pass? Our God is a sovereign God. Omnipotent. Omniscient. He is the all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God. Our God is. Shall He not bring to pass what He said He would bring to pass? Christ is the Savior. He's the Sanctifier. He's the Mediator. All that the Father chose, the Son redeemed, and the Spirit calls and keeps. That's ordered and sure. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. Our God shall not fail nor be discouraged till He has set judgment in the earth, Scripture said. That's a. You and I, we can't even say what we're going to do this afternoon. God determined this before the foundation of the world and has brought everything to pass. In spite of a bunch of little self-willed, stiff-necked rebels running around trying to make everything God said He'll do not come to pass. It's come to pass. Every bit of it. Look over at Isaiah 46. I love this passage. This is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. And it's just, these are things I know you know these things, but these are just things that comfort us. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there's none else. I'm God and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand. And I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I've spoken it. I'll also bring it to pass. I've purposed it. I will also do it. You know, John Newton wrote Amazing Grace, and I read when he was dying, he said, My memory is nearly gone. It's nearly gone. And I tell you, it may come to the point where our memory is completely gone. It may come to the point where we don't even know who we are. But our hopes, He knows His own. He knows His sheep. He calls them by name. And He said, My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things. I'm a great sinner. And Christ is a great Savior. Look back there at David, verse 5. This is the first thing he said was, It's not so with my house. But he said, He's made an everlasting covenant with me. Yet, He hath made an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Here's the third thing. For this is all my salvation. This is all my salvation. I think by what David's saying here is if somebody asks you, What's your hope? You could say, He has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation. What about you? Not about me. I'm trusting Him. It's about Him. This is all my salvation. David looked around at his house and he looked around at everything about him and everything that had taken place. And the only thing he could say, the only thing that gave him any comfort in his dying hour was this covenant God has made. This word of God to him to save him. To save him. And he said, This is my salvation. It's in a word. It's in not my promise to God, not how many things that I've said I would dedicate to God and promise God, and it's God's promise to me. God's promise to save. God's promised to bring glory to Himself while He's doing it. That's my hope. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God, for from Him cometh my salvation. That's what David said. He said, He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. He's the rock of Israel. That firm foundation we looked at last week. He's my salvation, David said. Everything God requires of me, Christ is. Everything God requires of me, my God's provided. He's my defense. He's a wall of fire around me. So my enemies can't hurt me. They can't harm me. And He has me hedged about so I can't harm myself and perish and be cast away. He leads us along, and then He's our reward at the same time. How can somebody be two places at once? With men, it's impossible, but not with God. He's all-encompassing of His people. He's our defense. When everything around us is falling down, when Satan buffets and our dearest loved ones have let us down and our house is just falling down around us, He's our defense. He's our defense. That's all my salvation. I shall not be greatly moved. He that believeth on Him shall not make haste. He won't be ashamed, won't be confounded, He won't be moved. Because there's some strength in me. I don't know if I told y'all that. I watched this documentary about this fella who was flying an airplane. And the windshield of this airplane blew out. A big jet, passenger jet. And the windshield of this thing blew out. And it sucked the pilot out of that windshield. And the only thing it did keep him from flying back into the engines was his ankles hung on the deal that you, what's it called? Yeah, whatever it is. He hung on that. And then some people held on to his legs and flight attendants held on to him and everything. And this fellow was just flapping on the side of this airplane, dangling. Ripped all his clothes off of him. Blood's coming out of him. He's going 300 something miles an hour and can't breathe. He went unconscious because he's so high up. And they brought the plane down. They landed this plane in this condition and got down on the ground. And this man, they took him away, and I think he broke a thumb and maybe didn't hardly do anything to him. And they interviewed all these folks that were on the plane, his co-workers, and they said, what is it that you think? How do you think he survived? And they said, he's just so strong. He was unconscious, dangling on the side of an airplane. And he's just so strong. You know, the only thing that's going to save me and you is not our strength, it's God's strength. It's His strength, not our strength. He said, this is all my salvation. Look there, fourthly, He says, and this is all my desire. It's all my salvation, and it's all my desire. You know what the word there means? It means this is my delight. This is my assurance. Now you think of all the sin that could trouble David. All the things that could trouble David. You know, with what I just told you about David, in our day and time, he wouldn't be a king. His political opponents would pull out every skeleton, and he surely wouldn't be leading anybody in religious matters. And God said, this is a man after my own heart. How is that? He's perfect in Christ. He fulfilled the whole law of God in Christ. He never had one sin in Christ. This is the covenant I'll make with them in those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their hearts. I'll write my law in their minds, and their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. I'll remember no more. And David said, this is all my assurance. This is all my desire. This is the only comfort I have right here. Look over at Psalm 73. I want you to see this. Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Can you say that? What do you want in heaven? What's heaven? What's that to you? It's Christ being with Him. He's my desire. My flesh and my heart faileth. My flesh and my heart faileth. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God that I might declare all thy works. My heart faileth. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is my strength. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word, the psalmist said. This is what David said. My only hope is in his word, what he said. God's satisfied with his son. That's what he said. Are you satisfied with him? God says, hear my son. Is he the one you delight to hear? God says, I'm well pleased with my son. Are you well pleased with him? God says, all those that trust in my son, those that are found in him, I'll remember their sin no more. Are you in him? Do you desire to be in him? Is he the comfort of your heart this morning? Look now there at the last thing, verse 5. This is the fifth thing. Although he make it not to grow. He had spoken of his house before. Look there with me in verse 4. Verse 4. He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springeth out of the earth by clear shining after rain. And now he says, although he makes that grass is not sprung forth, hasn't come forth, and to look at my house, I don't see how it's going to come forth. Christ is the tender plant. He's the root of Jesse. He's the root out of a dry ground. And the promise to David was, the Lord's coming. And coming through your lineage, he's going to be the son of David, according to the flesh. He's coming of your lineage. And David said, I look at my house, and I look at all about me, and I think, how can it be? How can it be? How can it be? How's he going to come forth, that tender plant, like a sprig of grass after the rain? And he says, this is still, in spite of how it looks, in spite of what it looks like to the natural eye all around me, in spite of that, still, he says, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. He says it's going to happen, and it's going to happen. He's ordered it in all things, and it's sure. And this is all my salvation and all my desire. He says, I trust him. I trust him. Turn over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. When our hearts are heavy by the tribulation and this world, and we got troubles in our own house, when your flesh and your heart fails, when your soul faints, come back to this everlasting covenant. Come back to this word. You know, when we really need our Savior, when we really need to hear this word rehearsed so that the Spirit of God comes forth and refreshes us with it. So many times, when we need it the most, we're the most distracted from hearing it because of all the things that's causing us to need it. That's the problem. These trials come upon us, and that's what causes us to need it. And most of the time, these trials cause us to look for a refuge somewhere else, or try to be saved from it somewhere else, or try to fix things ourselves. And this is what we need to hear. We need to be calmed in this thing first. This is it. I think our equivalent today, since Christ has come and He's gone to the cross and He's accomplished the salvation of His people, He's redeemed His people, He's put away their sin, He's risen to the right hand of the Father, declaring before this whole world God's satisfied with His people. I think that the equivalent for us today of what David is saying here is what John said when he said, "Beloved, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He comes we're going to be just like Him." Well, it doesn't appear like it right now, does it? But how do you know? Well, how are you so sure? "He made an everlasting covenant with me. It's ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation, all my desire. This is my assurance." And for you that don't know Him, for you that don't believe on Him, listen to this word in Isaiah 55. Listen to this now. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." Remember who we saw these waters were last week from that smitten rock? It's in your bulletin. You can review it. "Come to the waters. He that hath no money." You can't purchase this. The purchase has been made by Christ. You can't purchase this. "Come ye, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." You hungry? Are y'all, anybody here hungry? I mean, just physically. You hungry right now? I'm hungry. What if any restaurant on Route 1 or wherever you'd like to go, any restaurant said, "Our doors are open, come, eat, don't bring money, it's all yours, come and eat." You'd go, wouldn't you? You know why? Because you're hungry and it's free. You'd be foolish not to. It's what He says about this glorious salvation. It's free. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." That's Christ our Lord, the delight. "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live." How are you going to hear, incline your ear, and come unto Him, and hear, and your soul live? How are you going to do that, and then your soul live? You just come, if you can. You'll find out. If you can, your soul's alive. But what you'll find out is your soul's alive forevermore. And there'll be a well of water springing up in you. Now look at this next, what I want you to see here. "Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live." Watch this. "And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people." Wouldn't it be nice? you don't think you're going to die today. So this probably won't make much sense to you. But wouldn't it be nice that you could reach that dying hour and have assurance? Not be frightful, not be terrified, not looking for that judgment to come. But to know that you've been judged in Christ and your sin's been put away. And all that awaits you is the marriage feast. All that awaits you is to sit down at the table in Christ's kingdom and for the feast to be spread, to be united with yourself. Wouldn't it be a rejoicing to face that hour and to know that? To know that. I had a friend that died. I heard Paul Mahan. This happened to him. One of his friends died when he was young. I had a couple of friends of mine that died when I was young. And that made a big impression on me. That made me realize that death is a very real, it's a reality. If we just knew how close we are to eternity, I'm so scared of heights. And the older I get, the more scared of them I get. I don't know what it is. Like when I walk up to, I'm on a mountain or something, I walk up, even if there's a rail there, it just frightens me to even walk up and just look over it. I'm not afraid of falling. I'm afraid of hitting the ground. But that's how we are all the time. We're right on a precipice, right on a, just like that, and we're over the edge. And to know that God has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered and sure. It's all my salvation, all my hope. It's my soul's desire. I do pray. I pray, first of all, that the Lord will comfort you that are in tribulation and trial and mourning. And I pray that He would bless this to somebody's heart to hear it for the first time and to know the Redeemer. Brother Scott said, ever since I heard the good news, it hadn't been any bad news. I emailed a friend this week and I said, no bad news, only more good news. Closed his eyes in a broken body and woke up brand new at the feet of Christ. Oh, to be able to look forward to that day. I pray God will give us grace. Amen.